When the Senate comes back from recess, its majority leader says two gun legislation proposals will be front and center for discussion.
One has to do with background checks, extending background checks to more types of transactions, such as gun shows and online sales. And then also red flag laws, which in effect allow law enforcement with a court order to go and take away guns from people who are deemed to be a risk to others or to themselves.
Plus, inflated bond ratings helped cause the financial crisis a decade ago. They're back. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. We'll have our main story on the prospects for new gun measures in a moment. First, here are some top stories. Financial markets have had a volatile week as investors remained worried about trade tensions between the United States and China. Stocks were pressured Friday morning, though the Dow Jones Industrials briefly turned positive. The volatility coming after President Trump suggested a meeting with China on trade might be canceled.
So we're doing very well with China. We're talking to China. We're not ready to make a deal, but we'll see what happens. We have an open dialogue. We'll see whether or not we keep our meeting in September. If we do, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine.
The president speaking to reporters at the White House before leaving on a weekend vacation. At the heart of investors' worries is that the trade war could push the U.S. and world economies into a slowdown. Mr. Trump has ordered tariffs on an additional $300 billion of Chinese imports. Adding to the concerns about a global slowdown, the U.K. reported Friday that its gross domestic product unexpectedly contracted in the second quarter as Brexit worries took their toll. Saudi Arabia's oil company, Saudi Aramco, is reviving plans for an IPO and accelerating the timeline for what would be the world's biggest listing to as soon as early next year. It comes as government officials hope to capitalize on the positive international reaction to state-owned Saudi Aramco's debut bond sale in April, which raised $12 billion. U.S. mortgage rates have tumbled to their lowest level in nearly 3 years, but they're unlikely to provide much of a lift to the sluggish home sales market. Economists said the rates could provide a modest boost to sales during the final months of this year, though few expect cheaper borrowing costs to reverse the course of a slowing market. Home sales have been weighed down by steep prices and limited starter home inventory in many markets. Freddie Mac said 30-year fixed-rate mortgages are down to 3.6%. Could there be some movement on gun legislation following last weekend's mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton? President Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell have held discussions on how to tackle gun violence. Senator McConnell, a Kentucky Republican, said certain proposals will be front and center in Senate deliberations. Joining us from Washington with more is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, first of all, what ideas have been mentioned as areas of discussion?
There are two big ones. One has to do with background checks, extending background checks to more types of transactions, such as gun shows and online sales. And then also red flag laws, which in effect allow law enforcement with a court order to go and take away guns from people who are deemed to be a risk to others or to themselves.
Well, first of all, Mr. Trump sent out a tweet Friday morning indicating support for meaningful background checks. Can you tell us about this and also update us?
Yeah, well, this was kind of interesting. The president said that he'd talked to Majority Leader McConnell, which was true, and he said that Mr. McConnell was, quote, totally on board with background checks legislation. That is not exactly what the Senate Majority Leader said. The Senate Majority Leader said that background check legislation and red flag legislation would be front and center, but he did not actually endorse a bill. And so it appears that President Trump may be trying to pressure McConnell into a position.
Right. Senator McConnell, as Congress is out on recess until September 9th, he spoke to a local news radio station in Louisville, and he's not yet, as far as we can tell, endorsed any of these ideas. Haven't Democratic leaders asked President Trump to call the Senate back into action to consider background check laws passed earlier this year by the House?
Yes. So Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi want Mitch McConnell to call the Senate back into session to pass the background check legislation passed by the House. McConnell has resisted doing that, and it's pretty clear that's off the table and is not going to happen.
What is different this time about the calls for new legislation, Siobhan? Is it the latest shooting massacres, or is it President Trump's expressed interest?
You know, we've been through a lot of massacres in the past, and the massacres have been followed by really relative inaction. If there have been any changes at all, they have been minor. I do think what's different this time is, number one, President Trump being more willing to challenge the NRA, which is unusual for a Republican president. And number two, the NRA itself is in a bit of disarray after a series of financial, I guess you would say, mismanagement or irregularities questions, including what looked to be an effort to purchase a very expensive mansion for the NRA president, Wayne LaPierre.
Don't a lot of states at this point have red flag laws on the books?
A lot of states have red flag laws, about 17 states plus the District of Columbia, with a spate of those written after the Parkland shooting in Florida. But 17 is obviously a far cry from all of the 50 states that are out there. And the idea of red flag legislation, at least the one that appears to be enjoying the most consensus, is something that would provide grants to states to encourage them to pass their own red flag laws.
And also, haven't expanded background checks failed to pass the Senate, despite Senator McConnell's mention of, you know, legislative proposals by senators?
For years, expanded background checks have failed to pass, and most of the focus has been on a bipartisan proposal from Republican Senator Pat Toomey and Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, who for years have been trying to get expanded background checks and have always come up short.
And also, there's bipartisan support for federal red flag laws, as far as I can tell. I guess Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, they're talking about extending grants to states enacting red flag laws. And I think Senator Rubio of Florida is out with his own proposal.
Correct. Senator Rubio introduced his proposal on the very first day of the new Congress. It's something that Rick Scott has also supported. The problem really has been opposition from the NRA. And even though the NRA is not at all the majority of the voting public, it really appeals to single-issue voters, and it has a way of whipping up its base to the degree that most of the Congress is, you could say, held hostage.
Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Thanks a lot, Siobhan.
Thank you.
Are inflated bond ratings by companies such as S&P Global and Moody's making a comeback? We talked to the Wall Street Journal's Cesare Podkul. Cesare, you write that one cause of the financial crisis more than a decade ago was inflated bond ratings. Credit rating agencies compete with each other to give letter grades for all kinds of debt from borrowers who pay for the ratings. So borrowers have the incentive to shop for the rosiest rating, and the agencies have an incentive to loosen their rating standards to win business. How serious is this problem now? Is it at pre-crisis levels?
It's a serious problem for sure, but it's probably not as serious as it was pre-crisis, since we're not yet seeing the mass downgrades that we saw in 2007. However, left unchecked, there certainly are investors who worry that it could certainly lead to a similar situation, because it could lead to greater rating inflation, and eventually we could get to a point where some of these ratings just don't resemble reality or far divorced from reality.
What part of the bond market is this problem especially acute?
So it's especially acute in the same segment of the bond markets that was at the heart of the financial crisis. It's called structured finance. Structured securities are these securities that are created from scratch using pools of loans, such as student loans, auto loans, commercial and residential mortgages, and the like. And investment bankers take them and they slice and dice them into various tranches with different risks and returns. And that makes credit rating firms essential participants in that creation, because investors need to know, hey, is this slice of the deal that I'm buying, is it risky? Is it safe? And that's where the rating firms come in. And the SEC has noted in its latest annual report on rating firms that the potential for a conflict of interest between rating firms and the issuers is greatest in exactly this sector of structured finance, where the fees are particularly lucrative.
Well, the Wall Street Journal did an investigation of the six major bond rating firms, among them S&P Global, Moody's. Those are two of the bigger ones. And I guess Morningstar is another one.
One of the smaller ones.
One of the smaller ones. The Journal did an investigation of the six rating firms regarding how they judged the riskiness of bonds. What exactly did the Journal find?
So we looked at their rating methodologies, which are these documents that they publish that lay out for investors, hey, this is how we look at debts in this or that market, and here's how we would grade it based on our criteria. So those documents are out there. Everyone can read them. And so we looked at them, and we saw that there were several instances in the last few years where a rating firm would change its criteria in such a way that they would see a big jump in market share. You know, issuers would start flocking to them in various segments and subsegments of the markets. We saw that with instances of that with all six of the main rating firms that are now active in structured finance. And it's something that certainly worries investors because, as one of them told us, when he sees a request for comment go out on some of these rating criteria from the rating firms, he always worries whether they're loosening criteria to win market share.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the investors. Are they getting wise to this rating inflation? I mean, what are they doing about it? Have they complained to the SEC?
They have actually. So we found out through a public records request that several professional bond investors met with the SEC in 2015 and alerted them to this issue and told them. One of them actually said, I have the memo here from the meeting saying that increased competition in the credit rating business may not be a good thing. It provides more of an incentive to compete for ratings and could result in a race to the bottom. So that was one of the concerns they raised. Then they asked the agency, you know, to put in rules that would provide more transparency, more disclosure, and make it harder for issuers to shop around and buy the best rating, which is what they're worried about.
Well, give an example or give some examples of properties that borrowed a lot of money and won higher ratings.
So one subsegment of the structured finance markets that we go into in detail in the story is commercial mortgage debt, which is backed by malls, hotels, and the like. And we found a mall in suburban Atlanta that has been going through a very difficult time in the last few years, as many malls have. It's lost the Sears. It's lost the Kohl's. When I was there in May, the Payless Shoe Source was having a going out of business sales. So the mall has been having a lot of problems. And despite all of that, S&P has rated one commercial mortgage bond that's tied almost entirely, 97% to the mall's payments from the mall's mortgage as investment grade, which means you're not going to suffer any losses. That's what that communicates to investors. But if you look at the underlying situation there and what's been happening with the mall, that's far from clear.
The Wall Street Journal's Cesare Podkul. And that's What's News for Friday afternoon. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.